from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Okay, here's the deal. It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like I said, just turn up and listen, you know?
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in 92.9 The Game on a Tuesday evening. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia studios, ready to rock and roll for the next 3 hours. We got a lot of different things to bounce around to. Going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, some of their cuts. Certainly we'll talk about it here early, but a lot more focused on later in the show. Going to chat about college football with my man Mark Packer. Of course, ACC PM. Love watching that while I'm working on my rundown for the midday show, and I'm working on that, or if I'm working on an ABTL show or whatever rundown I'm working on, I normally sit there with ACCPM and kind of watch it and really enjoy that. So a good buddy of mine, Mark Packle, is going to join us. As we mentioned in the crosstalk there with Dukes and I would say Bell, but with Zeno, we got the Tour Championship coming to Atlanta over the next couple of days. I have some interesting thoughts about what's going on there, and we'll go outside the perimeter and PM Power Rank and all the normal stuff that we usually do on 92.9 The Game tonight. I am going to be taking calls early in the show here, and I'm pretty interested to see where the mindset of the listener is. And so I implore you to give it a couple of minutes, because I'm not going to get directly to the phone calls. But the topic is pretty simple when we do get there. And if you want to call up now and wait on hold, I'll go ahead and tell you what the question is. If the Falcons underachieve this season, what's going to be the reason? What are the hiccups? What are the holdups for this Atlanta Falcons franchise? Honestly, I thought as long and hard as I could, and I got Dom Cherosky here with me tonight as well, producing and running the show, and maybe he'll get involved when we get to it as well. I only got three. I only got three hiccups, and I tried. I thought, like, realistically, are there more? So I'm interested to see if you guys got more than what I've got. 404-726-0929. What are the Falcons' hiccups? If they don't accomplish what we expect them to, what are going to be the reasons? I'm looking for potential speed bumps from the fans. And again, I did not find that many. And the ones I did find, I think are going to be, to some extent, they would be the same for every single team. And so very interested to hear what you guys have to say on that. We're going to get to that discussion in a little bit. I do want to break down, however, a couple of pieces of news, especially get into these Falcons roster cuts before we move on. And we're going to do a lot more with the Falcons roster discussion later in the show. But real quick, last night here on 92.9 The Game, you could hear Mike Connie's call. The Atlanta Dream, they fall to Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark by 5 points. Really fun game down the stretch, because it was headed for a blowout, and the Dream cut the lead all the way down. But Caitlin Clark goes for 19-7-7 in the 5-point win, 28 points for Tina Charles, the WNBA legend who continues to get it done. UGA running back Roderick Robertson underwent surgery to repair a toe injury. They say he's listed as week to week, but there's concern it's going to be a little bit longer than that. And then still no word on Trevor Etienne, his availability for Saturday against Clemson. I think that the Georgia Bulldogs can win this game without him, but I don't want to undersell how big a deal I think Trevor Etienne can be for this Georgia team. I'll be honest, and I am a Florida fan. I have seen Etienne for a couple of years now with an offensive coordinator that did not dial his number and an offensive line that did not create holes. I think there is an opportunity if they feed Etienne this year that he is one of the four or five best backs in the country. I really do. I think he is dynamite. And when you put him behind that offensive line and a potential Heisman-winning quarterback where you have to respect the pass game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yo, like ETN, I think ETN's going to have the best season for a Georgia back in, like, and I have to go back and look because I'm probably going to forget someone. And then everyone's be like, you idiot, this guy went for 4,000 yards 2 years ago. No, I don't want to say a name because I don't want to sound stupid, but like, I feel like he can be the best back that they've had for a couple of years. For a while. Now, that's always going to depend on what sort of workload they give him. And I know Georgia's got a staple of backs, and now Roderick Robertson's out. Maybe that changes the workload. Maybe it just means a freshman's going to get more carries, something like that. But I do not want to undersell. Again, I think they could beat Clemson without Trevor Etienne, but I don't want to undersell what he could be in this offense. I think he's a home run threat every time he touches the ball. And I'd be very interested to see if he's good to go. Well, physically, he's good to go. And there's obviously the other off-the-field issues there. So, that's going to be something very interesting to watch. The Braves yesterday, last night, deep into the evening because of the rain delay, they beat the Twins 10-6. I'm going to be honest. They went up 9-1, and I saw that it went into a delay. And I'm like, all right, man, like, deuces. Like, don't blow an 8-run lead. Now, I didn't know that Max Fried was going to come back after the delay. It sounded like Brian Snicker actually was a little hesitant, and Max Fried was like, no, I'm good, man. Let me throw him back out there. I'm not too bothered by the fact that he gave up the three runs. The run in the first was a little bit unlucky. That's, you know, how it goes. Jorge Soler just continues to, like, slow up as balls bounce in fair territory. I know he thought it was going to go foul again, and whatever. But once we got the two runs later in the game, I think Max Fried is pitching to the score. Pitch to contact, see if you can get some easy outs, and they hit him around a bit. But even those, you're dealing with like an infield single, just kind of a badly placed ball. Whatever. I'm not bothered by it. I'm actually very pleased. Five innings, three runs allowed, seven strikeouts. I thought it was a good outing for Max Fried. So we got Spencer Schwellenbach on the mound today. All right, real quick, before I get into the Falcons hiccup discussion, if you will. Falcons roster is down to the 53-man. Remember, this is what we call the initial 53-man roster. This is not necessarily the final 53-man roster. There are still some moves that could be made. And, of course, the practice squad will start to fill up as time allows as well. A couple of slight surprises, I guess. Kevin King, the cornerback who had seen a little bit of time at safety as well. The veteran who had taken some personal time and got injured as well off of Green Bay. I thought he looked good, to be honest, in camp. It looks like they kept safety Micah Abernathy over him. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Chris Blair had stood out as a receiver with the second team. He's gone. And Carlos Washington, you knew there was a running back battle. I talked about it. There's three running backs for one, maybe two spots. Carlos Washington, the odd man out. Jace McClellan does catch on. We're going to talk about that, and we'll also go around some of the other cuts across the NFL, see if maybe there's some interesting names for the Atlanta Falcons to dive into. But again, just remember, this is the initial roster, not necessarily their week one game day final roster. So there's still moves to be made, and then we'll see which of the cuts could actually come back into the practice squad. I think a lot of the guys that we talked about, especially when you look at Chris Blair, when you look at Carlos Washington, I'd be very interested to see those guys back on the practice squad. Unfortunately for Kevin King, as a veteran, it's kind of tough to stay on the practice squad. But I will say this, and we've seen this across the NFL. This is not a Falcons-only thing. In recent years, we've seen a lot more veterans on practice squads. And we've seen guys that get waived and signed to practice squads. And there was a time where practice squad was, if you weren't a first-year or second-year player looking to develop and catch on, because of the money or whatever various situations, you were off the practice. You weren't going to get a practice squad. But much more recently, we've seen a lot of veterans on practice squads. So maybe there is an opportunity for Kevin King. I'll be honest, I thought he was going to make the team. He's probably the most surprising in regards to that, but good for Micah Abernathy proving that. Damone Harris is another one. We'll talk about him. There's probably felt like it was either him or D'Angelo Malone at the linebacking core, the outside linebackers. And honestly, I think D'Angelo Malone got this job because of special teams production. I mean, he was all over the place in special teams in the preseason, and that seemed to be the difference. But Damone Harris, another one that could find his way onto the practice squad. We're going to talk more about the Falcons' cuts, decisions, and who else is out there later in the show, about 9:20. We'll go outside the perimeter, talk about a couple of cuts as well. Again, Mark Packer going to join me at 8 o'clock. Going to chat about week zero or what we saw from Georgia Tech, certainly, as Mark Packer covers the ACC. And then we'll get into a couple of games here this coming week as well. I want to remind you, we're kicking off college football game time at 8 o'clock. Myself and Garrett Chapman, very excited to get into it with Garrett because me and him do a podcast as well every week. And just we're ready to roll and just talk ball. And it feels like it's been a long off season, and it's so nice to have games back. It was such a great week zero. And I don't want to undersell week zero. It was not just the Georgia Tech game. I wouldn't say all four games delivered. Like, Hawaii was Hawaii, and if you were able to watch on an app at midnight, then you watched it. But, like, the other three games were actually quite good. They really were. At SMU Nevada, I was watching while hosting for Atlanta United. It was really a fun game. Nice comeback for SMU. We'll talk with Pac-Man about SMU as they're a new entrant into the ACC as well. So that's where we are going. All right, it's Abe Gordon here on 92.9 The Game tonight. Coming up next, we're going to take some phone calls. I'm going to share some of my thoughts, maybe get Dom's as well. Yeah, I struggled getting this list. I really did. What are the speed bumps for the Falcons this year? If they do not accomplish what we expect them to, what's going to be the reason? What are the hiccups? 404-726-0929. I'm interested to hear what you guys think could be the stumbling blocks for the Atlanta Falcons this year. I put it out on Twitter as well. I'll tweet it out from the 92.9 The Game account. If you're not able to call in, feel free to join the conversation on Twitter, at Abe Gordon right there. Same question. If the Falcons underachieve this season, what's going to be the reason? Your phone calls and my thoughts next. 404-726-0929. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
I think
the spit fly.
For me, it's the intensity.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. I got the U.S. Open on. Carlos Alcaraz about to walk through some Australian cat. Dude looks ready for him, though. We'll see. We'll see if it's like 6-2, 6-2, 6-1. But I don't know, hoping for something. We'll see. We'll see. I know Naomi Osaka's got a nice one coming up tonight as well. So we'll be keeping an eye across the, I love the U.S. Open. It's just... That's the stuff I get into. We talked about the Olympics a couple weeks ago. Little League World Series. Now the U.S. Open tennis. We got Tour Championship. Some fun stuff coming up there. We might talk about the Tour Championship a little bit later in the show. But right now we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons because I think I'm pretty optimistic about this team. We talked about it after the Judon and Simmons stuff. I put them into a tier that maybe very few people have them in, and hopefully you guys are along with me. I've heard some people have a little bit more pessimism than I do, but I've got them in a tier right behind the Niners, and some people might think the Lions are ahead of them. I can understand that. I don't. The Lions are going to have to show me consistency and do it more than one year, and they certainly possibly can. But the Lions, the Eagles, the Cowboys. The Packers, that's the tier that I've got the Falcons in. They're right behind the Niners in my mind. But, as always, sometimes things go awry. Sometimes expectations are not met. And if that's the case for the Atlanta Falcons, not that I'm trying to be too negative here, but if they don't meet the expectations, what's the reason? What's the potential speed bumps for the I titled this segment, The Falcons Hiccups. What are the reasons they don't accomplish what we expect them to? If they do not achieve what we think they can, what are the reasons why? And I sat down to write this list, and I'm like, man, I got to come up with like 6-7 things and try and figure out a bunch. I don't have a list of 6 and 7 things. That's what's most interesting to me about this team. I don't know how many weaknesses they really have. A lot of times I could pinpoint, I could go to the Jets, right? A lot of people think the Jets are potential contenders in the AFC. And look, the one thing I have for the Falcons and every other team is going to be injury, right? That's the great equalizer. But injury aside, I can look at the Jets and say all right, the offensive line's a problem. And that could be the downfall of Breece Hall in the run game, and it certainly could be the downfall of Garrett Wilson and the receivers because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have time. Even if he stays healthy, it's a downfall. I don't have that many downfalls for the Atlanta Falcons. I have a couple. I have three. And so I'm interested to hear what you guys feel might be the hiccups, the speed bumps, the downfall. What's going to hold them back? What's the anchor to this Falcons team? 404-726-0929, or you can leave a note on Twitter. I posted it and then reposted it from 92.9 The Game, at Abe Gordon on X/Twitter, so you can check it out there. All right, so here are the three things. Okay, again, I only have three, and that's why I'm interested to see what you guys feel I overlooked. 404-726-0929 if you want to jump in on that. All right, the first one is injuries. Like I said, I think that's the great equalizer. I think that's for every team, and that's understandable. Obviously, Kirk Cousins, right? But even though a lot of people think Michael Penix can come in and we don't lose a step. And so we'll see, right? We like Michael Penix, but I'm going to be honest, my hopes with Penix versus what my hopes are with Cousins are a little bit lower. I think that's being fair until I see it. Just tough for a rookie to come in and produce. Kirk Cousins is one of, and I don't want to hear can't win in the playoffs. I don't want to hear stat padding. I don't want to hear any of that crap. Kirk Cousins is one of the best players in the NFL. He's one of the best quarterbacks of his era. The longevity alone stands for that. And then, you know, on the defensive side, the Judon thing is very difficult for me to get behind. Or not behind. I mean, I'm happy he's here. But, like, if we're talking about injuries and what injury could derail the defense, it would be Judon. Because you're already down Braylon Trice. And it just feels like we all kind of wrote off the pass rush woes as solved with Matthew Judon. And hopefully that's the case with him here. But if he goes down, you don't have Trice, and you're like, all right, where's the depth? Now you're hoping that some of the other guys can step up, some of the younger guys as well, especially on the inside. It sounds like the interior D-line is really done well this offseason. So we'll see if that continues. But you don't have a lot behind them. So, but injuries are going to be an example for every team, right? Like if Travis Kelce is lost to a season-ending injury, even as great as Patrick Mahomes is, they're going to probably run into some stumbling blocks. Or vice versa, if Mahomes goes down. And so it's kind of unfair to be like, if this quarterback goes down, it's a problem. Yeah, that's every team, man. Like, that's pretty much every team. I mean, I can count on half of a hand the teams that have succeeded with backup quarterbacks. That's just how it goes. If anything, you're as prepared as anyone else in the NFL for a backup quarterback situation. So injuries, I think, could be a potential hiccup for the Falcons. Number two, cornerback play. Is A.J. Terrell better than what the metrics and stats have shown him to be for the past 2 years? We all certainly better hope so after the extension that he signed. I do believe so, but if that comes to fruition, so be it. And then also, we've upgraded the safety. We hope we upgraded the pass rush. How much does that cover up maybe some of the weakness at cornerback too? And no offense to Clark Phillips or Mike Hughes or Alford or any of the other cornerbacks on the team. If I had to like circle like who's the weakest position defensively, it's probably the cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell. It doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing their jobs, but just being realistic. So I do think cornerback play is maybe a hiccup, especially if the safeties can't help cover that and if the pass rush isn't what we think it is and the quarterbacks have time to pick that guy apart. And again, maybe it's A.J. Terrell, too. We need him to step back up to where he was in 2021. And then my last hiccup, and again, I can only come up with three. I don't even know if I fully believe in these. Like, I don't really believe the cornerback thing, but, like, if you told me that was a reason they struggle, I could believe it. And I don't really believe in this one, but I know it's going to be mentioned, so I thought I'd bring it up. First-time coordinators, right? Zach Robinson calling plays for the first time in his career. Does it become obvious that we're dealing with a first-time play caller? I don't think so, but I think you could sell me on it. I think there are at least concerns there. Not for me, by the way. I'm in love with Zach Robinson. I haven't even seen him make a play call yet. I wanted Zach Robinson from day one. No one wanted Zach Robinson before I did. Maybe Raheem, like when they had backroom discussions about, you know, but like no one in the public's eye wanted Zach Robinson before I did. Like, I'd have to go back to my tweets and texts. I guarantee you within 10 minutes of finding out that Raheem was head coach, I had put out a Zach Robinson bat signal. I guarantee it. I know my friend works for the social media department with the Rams. You know what? I'm gonna find this text. I haven't texted her. Texted her a ton. But I know I texted her something like, bring Zach Robinson to Atlanta, something like that. Let's see. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I tweeted it. I don't know. It's somewhere out there.
It's somewhere up there.
I'm not good at searching my own tweets or texts. That's the problem. I don't know. All I see is her like talking with Steve Weiss. I'm like, yeah, he's a good dude. It's somewhere, though. It may have been like an IG message or something. I don't know. It's there. I guarantee it. But Zach Robinson, first-time play caller, like, is there a level of concern there? And then, like, this doesn't normally get brought up, right? We always bring up, well, the offensive coordinator is the first time. We never do it with the D coordinator. And maybe that's partially because Raheem Morris is a defensive-minded head coach, although he has worked on the offense too. But, like, Jimmy Lake, you know, defensive coordinator, the roles, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be as viewed as important as the OC. But he is the first time, you know, getting it done out there as well. So we'll see how that works out for him. But, yeah, like you could sell me, like, if something went awry with the offense, you're like, Is Zach Robinson just not the play caller we thought he would be? I mean, I don't believe that, but like at the end of the season, you could probably sell me on that. Honestly, those are the only three like hiccups and speed bumps I could come up with. And I really thought I'd have a longer list. And I think that speaks to how well put together this Falcons team is and the position that Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and Arthur Blank have put this squad in. Like, if you wanted to sell me on like a couple of other random things, like the crowd won't be energetic in the first couple of weeks. Like, I'm not going to, whatever. But like, that's it. Like those are my three. So I'm interested to see if you guys have more. 404-726-0929. I want to hear from Dom in a little bit, but I want to get to the callers first. We start on this discussion with Swede that's in Atlanta. What's up, Swede?
Hey, basically, I was listening to you, carry on, and that's fine. I just, my opinion is it's quarterback because of Cousins, his leg ankle problems, his age at 36, if something even minor happens, it'll take him a long time to recover. And as a result, you get Penix in there who has very little, well, no experience really with reading NFL defenses. And so that would be my concern about their situation in the coming season. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Sweet. I think that kind of leads to the injury discussion we're having. For me, the only reason that Cousins is not in there and performing well is going to be limitation due to injury. I just have no concerns or doubt about his ability to play well. And I just got one on Twitter as well from 521 Music. He says, 36 with one playoff win, obviously referring to Kirk Cousins. It's hard to ignore when the ball is in your hands every offensive play. I just don't think one playoff win is a Kirk Cousins stat. Like, I find that really hard to believe that we're blaming all of that on Kirk Cousins. I know it falls on him to some extent, but, like, there's 21 other starters on that team, plus a head coach and two coordinators. We're just blaming it on Cousins. A couple of those times they weren't favored. A couple of times they were favored, to be fair. Early in his career, they were the 3 seed. They lost to some 6 seeds. More recently, they've lost to 3 seeds when they were the 6 seed.
Yeah. And also, I will say this, as far as like the question goes, I wouldn't consider them losing in the playoffs to be a hiccup for a team that hasn't been to the postseason in 6-7 years now. Like, if you get to the postseason,
you can't like sneak. It would be underachieving if the Falcons snuck in as a wild card and then were booted immediately. So it kind of depends how it plays out into the playoffs. I would be disappointed if they don't lose, win at least one playoff game. I'd be pretty disappointed. That's just me. All right, where do you stay? I only got a couple of seconds, and if you want to get some more calls in, 404-726-0929. We can also get some reaction on Twitter as well. But, Dom, you heard my list. You heard a caller also mention Kirk Cousins. I just mentioned a post on Twitter/X that mentioned Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd have a longer list, and when I sat down, maybe it was just writer's block, and maybe my creativity was a little wonk earlier today. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, though. Yeah. Like, I couldn't find much.
Yeah, I think...
What am I missing? Like, is there something blatant that I'm missing?
The only thing that I could think of on your list that wasn't on your list was just that there's a lot of potential on this team, but, like, what if the potential is just potential?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, is Drake London truly a wide receiver one?
Like, is Kyle Pitts...
Is Kyle Pitts... That, yeah, I get that, but... I also and those are fair points, but I think it would take multiple aspects of that. Like, I think this team is good enough that it could overcome, all right, Drake London's just not a great wide receiver one because you got Bijan and because you have Pitts.
Right.
Okay, maybe Kyle Pitts isn't like the mismatch we all thought he was, but Drake London's had a big preseason. Bijan Robinson's going to be the load back on offense anyways. And I just think you could overcome one of those. Maybe not two of them, but like even like, all right, Bijan's not the game breaker. Like with Cousins and London and Pitts, I think if we need to be a pass happy offense, I think we can. And that also reverts to me believing in Zach Robinson. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like that's the thing for me is one limitation, two limitation. I still think this team can achieve big goals. It'd have to be multiple aspects of that.
Yeah,
so
they're set up to be able to overcome one or two, I think.
Yeah, exactly. 404-726-0929 if we want to continue this conversation. But coming up next, I do want to chat about a little bit about the Atlanta Braves before they get going as well. By the way, we talked about it. We had some fun at the expense of this Australian dude. He's already down 4-0 against Carlos Alcaraz. He might be about to hold serve there to make it 4-1. But he looked the part, and he's playing exactly like I thought it would go. So there you go. We'll keep an eye on that. They might switch to a different match here very short order. All right, so we'll come back here on 92.9 The Game tonight, talk a little bit about the Atlanta Braves as they get going in Minnesota. That's on the other side in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
You got to come out here, man, have a good time, have fun, man. This is football. We've been doing this since we were 5 years old. You're coming in with that mindset, man. I love to do this.
It's a football night in the A as Abe Gordon is live from Falcons Open Practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Exclusive camp coverage is brought to you by attorney Ken Nugent, getting the settlement you deserve after an accident.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Unfortunately, it did not give me access to Mercedes-Benz today. That was a couple weeks ago, and some carts got lost in the system. Going to talk Braves here in just a moment as they get underway. I got to say something about Instagram, and I don't use Instagram a lot. Every once in a while I'll post on the stories page. I posted a couple of marathon things last year. I was leading up to the marathon that I ran. Whatever. I mostly like reactivated or made sure I had Instagram because it was going to be connected to Threads, right? We talked about this a while ago. I thought Twitter, and it still might at some point die a horrible death because Elon's a disaster and it's a mess and it's not a great platform anymore. But the algorithm on Instagram, I don't know what they perceive my interest to be. It is the reels, it is a wild collection of stuff. And so if I go to like the search page, I have a lot of running content, which I can understand, right? I followed a couple marathon runners. Mm-hmm. I've unfollowed them since, you know, I wasn't doing marathons anymore, but a couple I still follow. And you get into the Olympics and I was watching a lot of track and field. So I can understand that aspect of it. Somehow there's a lot of snake content on here where they're just showing videos of snakes, mostly in like Asia and the Indian subcontinent.
Huh.
I don't know what that's about. I don't know why that's a thing. It's a wild.
Have you been talking about snakes lately?
No, of course not.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You know, your phone's always listening.
No, no, it's not a thing. It's a weird thing. I don't know. I don't understand the algorithm.
Yeah, sometimes it's hit or miss.
At least I've gotten like, I mean, I don't. I think that they're. I don't know what's going on with the IG thing. They used to just throw, you know, adult film stars. All I'm like, why?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not part of my algorithm. Not on Instagram, at least. A couple other websites might have some saved searches, but not on IG. I don't know. IG's got a weird thing going on. A lot of home improvement products, which like is okay, but it's also like, nah, man, like not doing that. I don't know. Very odd. And then Threads has its own algorithm, which is a disaster.
You're still using that thing, huh?
No, I check it every once in a while because IG will send me to a thread. I don't know. And the Threads algorithm, a lot of running content, which is fine. Like, this is for the Threads refuses to open itself up to the following. You have to make it so it shows you who you follow every single time.
Yeah.
It opens up to this For You page, which, by the way, the people I follow is what's for me. But it opens up to the For You page, and it's just, like, a couple of running things, and then, like, a ton of ladies, gals complaining about guys not being interested in them. And it's like, do guys no longer like 39-year-old females who haven't had any work done? Question mark. I'm like, it seems like a you problem. I'm still interested in 39-year-old females that haven't had work done, so I don't know what's going on. I think it got big because of that. There was a hashtag on Threads that was like, I once dated this guy that, and then followed with a story. I don't know why I'm getting up with that, but like, that was a thing. I don't know, man. The
Maybe
algorithms
they think
are
you
wonky.
All are good matches. Maybe you should follow those ladies.
No.
I
did almost respond to one.
Okay.
Because someone was like, I don't know how this was like a combination of both groups. They're like, I'm in Atlanta looking for a group to run with.
Okay.
And
okay.
I like, I was doing my group run the next day with the Dunwoody Roadrunners. And, but then it's like, it's weird. I don't feel comfortable reaching out on Twitter.
Fair.
Or Threads or whatever. Fair. It's just an odd thing. I don't know. So
I get that.
Yeah, it's weird. You know what's funny is I've known, I have a couple of couples that I know that I'm friends with, either the guy or the gal, now both, that met like on social media. Like,
it works. Hey, it works for some people. Some people.
Yeah. You might want to stick around, by the way, for the PM Power Rankings. It kind of down this line, because the non-sports topic is top five ways to meet a significant other. And so, you know, maybe we'll cycle back to this. But I do want to talk about the Atlanta Braves, who were sat down very quickly in the first inning here. They are underway in Minnesota. Simeon's Woods Richardson for the Twins. Woods Richardson against Spencer Schwellenbach. So Woods Richardson versus Schwellenbach is now confirmed to be the longest last name pitching matchup in MLB history. Schwellenbach versus Woods Richardson. So setting a record there for whatever that's worth. Doesn't matter too much. We talked about it earlier. Braves beat the Twins 10-6 in the series opener. They were up 9-1 after the second inning. Then a weather delay. Max Fried. Marcell Ozuna was back in the lineup after the foul-off scare from Sunday. He was 2-for-4. Two runs scored. Matt Olson with a home run and a double. Travis d'Arnaud had a home run, too. Michael Harris. Got some good news on Michael Harris. I know he got hit by a pitch and then left later in the game on Sunday. He did not start yesterday, but he did come in the later innings. Also did have an at-bat. So some good news, on that front to see him back out there. So, you know what? Honestly, the top of the first went so fast, I didn't even see if he was leading off. Or in the field today. Somehow I just missed the lineup entirely, so I'm going to look it up real quick if I can find it. Let's see, box score. He's not leading off, but he is playing center field. They have him a little bit down the lineup. Whit Merrifield leading off today. I know he's been on a tear, five hits yesterday. So Michael Harris is back in there, though. So that's some really good news because, man, we're going through it with the Riley thing, and then we're complaining about how many guys are getting hit, right? Travis d'Arnaud had gotten hit as well. And Harris gets hit, and he looked fine for a couple innings, and then he comes out, and then Ozuna bats one off his own leg. And it's a very scary moment for us to have to do the whole bit where we're waiting for the x-ray and waiting for the MRI to see if everything's going on. But so it's good that Michael Harris is back in and able to play. We mentioned it, Spencer Schwellenbach versus Simeon Woods Richardson tonight. Spencer Schwellenbach has been very good lately, and we'll hope to keep that one up. I thought yesterday was important, if we're going to be honest. And I haven't looked at the standings. I know the Phillies had another walk-off, and I think Castellanos already hit a bomb in their game today. So they're they're up 4-0 over the Astros. The Houston could do us a favor there, come back in that one. But I thought this was a dangerous series because I thought there was potential, especially with this looming four-game set in Philly, to overlook the Twins. They're too good of a team to just kind of overlook. And so to get off on the start that you did yesterday, at least get one win on paper, and then we'll see if we can get at least one more, if not a sweep. We'll see how that plays out. But really good job to stay focused on the task at hand for the Atlanta Braves. Chris Sale's going to be on the bump tomorrow. His push for a Cy Young continues. They need to get him a couple wins in some of these efforts. I mean, he was really good last time out, but did not get a win. And then I mentioned it a couple, maybe a week ago, maybe over the weekend, whatever it was. Like Marcell Ozuna, I think if the Braves make the playoffs, he should be the NL MVP. I say that knowing full well he will not be the NL MVP, with one exception. And look, Shohei Ohtani, he's starting to find a little bit of separation in the home run category. Ozuna hasn't gone yard in a couple. If he goes 50-50, you're talking about Ohtani. I don't think it's realistic to think that people are going to ignore those numbers, that milestone. I will say this, though. If there's a way for Ozuna to find his way into it, how do you compare Shohei possibly going 50 home runs, 50 steals, right? But what if at the same time, Marcell Ozuna wins the NL's Triple Crown? Like, I think it'd be a real interesting debate to win the Triple Crown and lose to another DH. By the way, both DHs, and I think that's part of the discussion. I'd be much more easy for you to sell me, yeah, this guy went 50-50 and he's playing. No, they're both DHs, so that's not an argument you can make. Going 50-50 versus winning the Triple Crown, if you took the names away from it and just put them on a blank spreadsheet, I'd have to go back and look at Triple Crown winners. I mean, did Miguel Cabrera win an MVP when he was a Triple Crown with the Tigers a couple years ago? I would have to imagine so. Like, I don't think the NL's had a Triple Crown since, was it Medwick in like the 30s? Like, who was the last National League Triple Crown? Am I missing someone? Is it Joe Ducky Medwick? Was maybe the last NL Triple Crown winner. It's like, hey, if the roles were reversed, I mean, it's wild to think of Ozuna stealing 50 bases. But like, if the roles were reversed and Ozuna had gone 50-50, but Shohei was hitting for a Triple Crown, like, everyone would be gushing over that way more than 50-50 for Ozuna. So, I don't know. Again, he's got a long way to go to try and catch Shohei for home runs. And so I don't think it's overly realistic. But I do find it interesting that I think he would get completely overlooked even with the Triple Crown if Shohei goes 50-50.
So as far as just a quick Google search here, as far as NL Triple Crown winners who also won an MVP, it looks like it's only been done by one player, at least from what I'm seeing here. On a quick Google search, it says Frank Robinson is the only player to win both National League Triple Crown and Most Valuable Player Award in the same year.
Interesting. For some reason, I thought Frank Robinson did a Triple Crown in the AL, but maybe I got my leagues mixed up. I don't know. That's fine.
It says 66 won the NL Triple Crown while playing for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been the AL. Were the Orioles in the NL in the 60s?
Could have been.
I feel like
could
that's. Have been. Yeah, check your research.
Hey, it was a quick Google search. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, how tough is it to Google? I guarantee you in this break, I'm going to Google NL Triple Crown winners and find the right. Actually, we'll bring it to you on the other side. But before we do that, Mark Packer of the ACC Network is going to join me to talk a little college football here. Very excited to chat with the Pac-Man about what's going on in the ACC and beyond. That's what's coming your way next. It's 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios, taking until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.